Good evening, everyone. It's really great to be here after a fairly eventful weekend, from meetings starting on a dinner and conversation on Friday night all the way through Saturday, Africa night last night, which when all of us became Africans for a night, and then into today. I want to just go back and get everybody caught up to where we are right now, and beginning with time in 4 years ago when we first met this guy, Pastor Edward Simiyu from Nairobi, when we were at a conference in Uganda, actually. And Pastor Edward started it by talking about the ministry of presence, which if you've been here, you've heard that phrase a bit. And the way he described it was, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then your presence is worth 10,000 words. And it's this idea that when someone you know is struggling in their life or actually having a very joyous occasion in your life, the most important thing you can do is to be present to them. Your words don't matter. And he said, he would repeat that. Your words don't matter. Don't worry about your words. It's your presence. And that really had a great impact on us. And since then, we've been trying to understand what that means for working both locally and globally in terms of being present to other people. So around that time, Pastor Edward was working with the people of Uganda, actually, and they were struggling with a few things, issues of HIV/AIDS in their community, the education for the displaced, because at that time was when they're having a lot of issues in northern Uganda and people were being displaced to the south, and then also peace along the Ugandan and Kenyan border. While that was happening, Jacob's Well was trying to understand or begin our first Advent conspiracy, looking for a place to dig wells, because that was the first or initial primary purpose of Advent conspiracy, was to be aware of the lack of access to clean water around the world. By talking with Edward, we had an understanding of how peace and water in the Pokot region of Kenya had a hand with each other, that if there was water there to help stabilize the tribes that were there and the communities that were there, that peace would come to that region. And amazingly, we have seen that actually come to fruition. So several conversations later, we made that connection, and we've been present in Pokot ever since. We've sent a few teams over. One team went over of their own accord, which was awesome. And we started to figure out what it meant to go deep into one place. This community has raised a lot of money for wells in Pokot, and it's had an incredible impact in that area. And so by going deep into one place, it helps us to understand the context in a lot of the world in a lot of ways, just by staying in one place and being there and dwelling with those people and not sort of going all over. During the Christmas season, we tried to re-understand how we live and give during the Christmas time, how we can change our cultural perspective on Christmas. And through all of that, we're able to raise money for 10 wells, which is not insignificant. And as many of you know, a team of us went over in November, visited all of those wells, and came back and reported. If anybody's interested in hearing that conversation when Pastor Edward was here after our trip, that's an MP3 you can listen to on our website from November 21st. And it's a great story, because Pastor Edward sort of tells the arc of that story in a really good way. Another key thing during that time was our understanding of this word Ubuntu. Times in our bulletin, we would say that the Ubuntu group was meeting. It was a group that was in conversation to understand African culture and other cultures. And it's a word that comes from the Bantu language group. And it means, I've heard it translated a lot of different ways, but the simplest way is, I am because we are. That I can't see myself as an individual outside of the context of a community. Such that if anyone in that community is diminished, then I too am diminished. Or if anyone in that community is celebrating, then I too celebrate. That there's no distinction between those two things. And it's a pretty powerful thing, and in our culture, as a culture that has a Declaration of Independence, It's different for us. We're very individualistic. And so we've learned a lot from the Africans that we've known in terms of gift giving, hospitality, living in community. It's been pretty powerful. So it's our pleasure to have hosted many people from around the U.S. this weekend, from Michigan and California and Texas, to see how what we're doing in POCOT is augmented by the work of other people. And it's not just these separate things, they're actually fairly strongly integrated. And we had some folks from Baylor here this morning. They had to sort of get in their car and drive off. But we do have, Andy is here, and then a couple other members of our Jacobs Well community to share a little bit more about that. So I'm gonna have, can you put up the picture of the team? There's a photo. Just some of the folks, I guess you can't see that very well. Anyways, there were some other folks here. And there they are. So let me ask these guys to introduce themselves and just say a little bit of their relationship to what we've been doing over in POCOT. And I'll start with Andy.
Thank you, Laura. Ooh, that's loud. Well, good evening. I actually bring you greetings from POCOT, from the little village of Asilong, which is in West POCOT, Kenya, about 6.5 hours or so outside of Nairobi. And I mean that literally. I got a phone call from a young man, Julius, who is there. And I spoke to him earlier today, and he gave me an update. And then I was quite surprised a couple hours later to get another phone call. And he had his phone on speakerphone, and it was the children, the students in the school that board there. And they were all saying, greetings to USA. They don't know exactly where Kansas City is. They don't know where Michigan is, but they sort of know USA. So we would say that in POCOT, we would say karam, okay? Karam yoman omba Yesu. So that's greetings in the name of Jesus. And I do greet you. My name is Andy Dupont. I'm from Michigan, just outside of Traverse City, a little town called Glen Arbor. My wife and I met Edward Simiyu in 2006. He made a visit to Traverse City to meet with a church plant that we were working with at the time, and I sat down, had lunch with him, and he explained to me this idea of ministry of presence. And we decided to take a team over to Kenya, and we saw him in Nairobi and then went on to the western part of Kenya in a town called Kisumu. But I dropped some money off with him. We were trying to raise money for one of these expensive wells, about $20,000. Told him that we were going to raise it, but we only raised $14,000. And I was sort of my tail between my legs, not knowing how to tell him. And he had the service there, and I said, Edward, I've come and I brought some money with me, but we didn't earn enough. And he said, Andy, don't you worry. We've been raising money here, too. We've actually raised the equivalent of $6,000. How much did you raise? I said, we raised $14,000. He said to me, quite squarely in my eyes, God knew exactly what was needed. And that well was put in, and then subsequently, Jacob's Well, working also with Edward, came behind us and put in more wells, and we'd love to tell you more about that as the evening goes on. But my wife and I are committed to going back to Kenya, and particularly to Asilong. A couple of times a year, we'll be going again in late October through the end of November, and just hope that we can continue this relationship with you and share what's going on there.
Nathan? Hi, I'm Nathan. I go to church here. Many of you may know me, maybe not. I was actually realizing that I've been going to church here for 10 years now, which kind of blows my mind. But anyways, I first met Pastor Edward in early 2008 on one of his trips here to Kansas City when he met with us when we were first discussing this well project. And I was part of the team that Jacobs Well sent last November that went over there to visit the 10 wells that were drilled and kind of discuss, you know, what our future engagement would be with the area, the village of Asilong, there in West POCOT in Kenya.
Hi, my name is Maureen. Many of you know me as Mo. I also have gone to church here for many years, and I actually have not had the opportunity yet to go to Phuket, but I have been to Kenya a couple different times and have done a lot of studies on East African development. And I am sitting in tonight for some of the folks that Laura mentioned from Baylor. I have been a part of the core team that has been casting vision for Jacob's Well's relationship with Phuket over 6 months, and I've been really thankful for that opportunity. And so tonight I'm going to impart some of their stories since they were here this morning and had to hit the road back to Texas. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I also want to mention that Noel and Sam Alexander are here too. They're with Love Mercy, which is out of Olathe, but we quite surprisingly landed at their guest house in Kitale because they have a station there. That's where we stayed just before going into Phuket. So it was quite a scene to watch Nate and Sam see each other. They hadn't seen each other since high school in this town, in this rather remote part of Nairobi or Kenya. It was pretty cool. And it was like another story of how God has so many people interconnected, working together, and it's phenomenal. It's pretty cool. I'm gonna ask Mo to Edward sent us some Pastor Edward sent us some greetings, knowing that he wouldn't be here today. So she's gonna read a letter from him.
Yeah, if you have that picture of Edward to put up on the screen. Many of you have probably seen Edward. He's preached here a couple times, and he was gracious enough to send us a greeting to share with you all today. So, dear friends at Jacob's Well Church, it will soon be a year since we visited each other in Nairobi and in Kansas City. I have been encouraged and strengthened by the support and friendship between us. I am increasingly learning and appreciating what it means to have friends standing and praying with you. We have walked miles in slums and in Phuket, not because we had strength. We have overcome much, not because we were strong. We have endured a lot, not because we were able, but rather, we did it because you were there to cheer and encourage us to keep up with the good works. God often uses the known to make us go through the unknown. He uses those we know to help us touch those we don't know. He makes us an encouragement to each other and allows only eternity to place the true value on the relationships we establish. All this he does so that mankind would come to know him, and of whom to know is eternal life. May we continue to be instruments in his hands to bring salvation to the world and joy to ourselves as we serve, walk, and relate with each other. May the Lord bless you all. Edward.
So as many of you know, we went through the Easter season talking about what salvation means and what it can mean, and most importantly, perhaps, how multifaceted it is, how salvation can mean very different things to each individual, and that speaks something to the glory of God and how he has the capacity to touch us each in our unique way. It's been pretty amazing to just hear the sermons and to understand the beauty of that. And we had one gathering time of just sharing metaphors of what salvation means to different people. Which is pretty cool. Last Sunday at Pentecost, Mike King took that a little step further in similar to talking about ministry of presence. He talked about living life together and how important that is. And not only just to be present, he actually gave examples of how when he saw the image of God in somebody else, that he would speak into that and let them know that, because sometimes we just don't know that it's happening, and encourage people to continue to be the image of God that God wants that person to be. And it's, for me, that was a really powerful thing to remember to reflect that back in people when they are reflecting his image. And so what we thought we would do for today was to ask the folks that have been involved in Kenya and Phuket to speak to that question: what is salvation in that global context, in Kenya, in Phuket? And so I'm gonna let Andy start in his answer to that question.
Salvation, actually, as I look out at the gathering here at Jacob's Well, and I did this as I did this morning, and I consider what you've been doing in Kenya, it speaks all about salvation. Let me tell you why I had that perspective. If you would read from Jesus' very last words. They were recorded in the first chapter of Acts in verse 8. I mean, this is right before Jesus leaves and has ascended into heaven, and we haven't heard from him here on earth since, other than through prayer. But his last words that while he was on earth here was this. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then he was ascended into heaven. His last words talked about being his witnesses because of the power that you have, because of your salvation and the Holy Spirit that has empowered you. And I could clearly see that that's happened through Jacob's Well Church. When we first went into Pocat, I went there, and the well that we had put in had been drilled. It was my second trip to Kenya, and four more wells had shown up there. They'd just been drilled. And I was saying, where did these come from? And that's the first time I heard the name Jacob's Well. And they were just beginning to have an impact. It wasn't clear to me at that time what it was going to be until I came back the next time. I was on that first trip, there were 60 students in the school. A year later, there were 320 students in the school. And there was a lot more life around the Asilong village. And when you put those wells in, you made a huge change. You brought clean water to a place where there was no clean water. Children were dying at a large rate from waterborne diseases that would cause diarrhea, and they wouldn't even name their children until they were 3 years old because it was no use naming them because they'd probably die. And that's how bad it is, okay? Now, there's abundant clean water around Asilong now. You brought peace where there was war. I could tell you the stories, and it's amazing the transformation. You brought light into an area that is full of darkness. This young man, Julius, that's there, living there day in, day out with the students there and with the community, is building relation and sharing with them the truth that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is transforming that village. You brought hope into a village that had not a lot of hope. And for that, I would like to say thank you. It is absolutely amazing to me to see that. So as I looked at that on my second trip, I also started hearing problems of, well, the wells are great, but we're having some problems. This one is not pumping as well as it used to be. This one's leaking. And by the third trip back to Pocat, I actually joined up with Laura and with Julie, with Holly, and with Nathan. And there, by that time, one of the wells had broken, in Namoto had broken. And we said, what are we going to do about making this sustainable? Okay, this huge investment that Jacob's Well has done that's transforming their lives could quickly fade away. We didn't want to create dependence there. So I said, we need to empower these people to take care of what God has provided to them through Jacob's Well. So we asked them if they would be interested in being trained to work on these wells, to buy tools to work on them, and take the long hours of work to learn the technology to be able to do it. And they said yes, they would. And I went back in February and March of this year and did the first training with them. And it was really encouraging to see they had two women out of the 14 that I was training, two women on the team. Now, you have to realize this is a very patriarchal society, and the women are abused, and really, it's not a good situation, and we could talk a lot this evening about that. But transformation, as I mentioned, is occurring. There are women on that team. After I left, we had done training and did some partial repair. They had this Nomoto well that was broken, and we were missing some parts that didn't come until after I left. And I was so concerned, can they do this on their own? And they went back there. I got a call about a week after I was back in the States. And they had gone back to this Nomoto well. They'd done the last fishing out of things that had fallen down and reinstalled the well. It was very, very difficult, but they did it. It worked, and it worked fabulously, better than it had been when it was first installed. And there was huge celebration. Now, on that team was a young man named Paul. Paul had, Nate and Laura had a chance to meet Paul when he was going through his rite of passage into, as an elder sort of in the community, in sort of moving into adulthood. But Paul never attended church. And he was part of the traditional, you know, women are a second class, they're used and abused. There are huge equality issues there. But he participated in that, and Julius told me for the first time after they fixed that well, Paul showed up in their service, in their gathering on a Sunday morning. And he worshiped with them, and he came up to Julius afterwards, and he said, Julius, I intend to come here every Sunday from now on. Now, what I will tell you is that's a major change. As you look out in that congregation in Pocat, for the adults, it is women. By and large, you don't see any warriors in that congregation at all. But just as we were singing today about how God can make you beautiful, I guarantee you that as Paul spends time hearing truth, God will change him. He will transform him. And his view of that God in that lady instead of an object, a sex object, is going to change the way that he treats that woman. And those are little steps that are going to make a huge difference over time. And for that, I want to say thank you to Jacob's Well. You're making this happen, and I really appreciate your concern for what's going on in Asilong and in Kenya. Thank you.
So thinking about what salvation means in Kenya, I have a couple stories that I'd like to share. And one thing to know about Pastor Edward is his church is in Nairobi, which is by car fairly far from Pocat, from Asilong. It's a long journey, bad roads, so it's not easy to get to. This is a ministry of his church, his work in Pocat. And the thing you should know about his congregation is that they're all people from a slum in Nairobi called South B. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a slum, but I had never been to a slum until I went on this trip last November. I'd read plenty about them and, you know, thought that I was prepared for what I would see. And honestly, really wasn't. We were invited, our team was invited one evening to dinner at Pastor Ben's home, which he's the assistant pastor at City Harvest Ministries. And he has a family, he's married, has four children, and they live in this slum called South B. And they live in essentially what's like a 10 by 10, probably the size of a small bedroom here, room, all six of them. And the walls are made of tin, and really bad conditions. And they made us a wonderful meal that night. I mean, it was just a wonderful evening of community and sharing God's love, and it was just obvious that God was there with us. You know, but just the poverty there is just unbelievable in those slums. And the fact that that congregation wants to go to Pocat, a place that they've been called, a place that has less than even they have, that they feel God's call to that, to me, is just, it really blew me out of the water. They have teams that go there. They have people from the church that help manage their project there. And, you know, that kind of dedication just really blew me away. I'm also, this weekend was really inspiring to me. We had, as Laura was sharing, we had some students from, well, they had just graduated recently from Baylor, and it was just really inspiring to hear their stories and hear what they've been involved with and the organizations they've started. One of the students had written a grant to One Laptop Per Child, and they have these real inexpensive, rugged, durable laptops that they send to remote places. And he was able to get 100 laptops in Asilong, in the village where our wells are drilled. And apparently that's the largest laptop project in Kenya. And Andy's done a ton of work keeping those laptops running. And they recharge them through solar panels that I think you installed one on the roof, if that's right. So yeah, there's four total now. First time that village ever had electricity, and they're used for in the schools for education, and it's just really amazing to see that happen, and just really inspired by these students, what, you know, their dedication and their just to see them responding to God's call in their life. I mean, they're kind of shunning the typical college graduate path of looking for a job and security and comfort and all of that, and just really dedicating all their free time to this sort of thing. And even Andy sitting here, I've been so encouraged by him. I mean, this guy, he's a successful businessman, retired, for all means should be working on his golf shot, but instead he's like going to Pokot every chance he gets, you know, and learning how to maintain water wells. So just blows me away.
Salvation to me in this context, especially after this weekend, has been just seeing salvation spread from an epicenter out to everyone and to everywhere around that, and just the waves of it just keep going. And like Nate said, one of the areas where that has become so miraculously, and not coincidentally, though it seems like coincidence, it can't be, evident is in these connections with all of these people, and with the fact that our team that went from Jacob's Well met up with people unknowingly from Olathe, and Nate, you know, knew them 10 years ago, and that that Andy and his wife Olivia, though they live in Michigan, they have close family and friends here in Kansas City that makes it a great opportunity for them to come and visit with us, and for all of the people in this church who graduated from Baylor, and then there's this huge Baylor contingency of people, and there's others throughout the country in Washington and California that weren't able to be here this weekend that are involved in some way with Pastor Edward, and many of them with Pocot, and it has been just so amazing to see those connections and just know that this is not a coincidence, that the Lord has orchestrated it to happen that way so that we can, little by little, find each other, know each other, support each other, share each other's resources in so many ways. And I think that has been an incredible act of salvation for each of us in being encouraged and supported by one another. I want to highlight one of those waves that, again, were some of the folks that were here that shared this morning that weren't able to be here tonight, also with the Baylor group. And they are a team that started a project called the Kianga Project. It's K-I-A-N-G-A. And what their group does, they're connected initially with Edwards Church and City Harvest Ministries in Nairobi. Is a branch of Edwards Church. And they... Edwards Church City Harvest Ministry has a project called the VCT, which is Volunteer Counseling and Training, and it's for individuals living in the slums who are HIV positive, and it creates support groups and medical testing and other medical assistance for people living in the slums with HIV, because one thing that they shared with us this morning was that if, especially in many parts of Africa, if someone has HIV, then they can't get a job. And if they're found out to have it while they have a job, then they'll immediately be fired, almost in any scenario. And so these people who are still relatively healthy, and they may have even drugs to keep them healthy, and they may live a long life, can't get work. They're completely shunned and set aside from the community. And the VCT has brought them in, and created support groups for those people to meet together along with other people who are further down the road and to support them in so many ways. And these guys from Baylor went and visited with Edwards Church, and they were a part of these support groups and saw this clinic happening, and they thought, this is awesome, but these people are still struggling economically. They still can't get a job. They have no way to make any income, but so many of them, especially these women, have great skills and crafts. And so what they did was they started taking the women's skills in jewelry making, bead making, crocheting, things like that, and helping them to make really beautiful, wonderful jewelry and bags that are appealing to people like me in America who love jewelry and love bags, and will pay a pretty, definitely a fair and a decent price for them. And so they, in five, there's five different groups throughout different slums in Nairobi that these guys, who have named it the Kianga Project, which means a burst of light after the storm, have started these groups of women who are making jewelry and then through the group in Baylor, funneling it back to them, and they're selling it, and all of the money, 100% of it, goes directly back to the women who it's their primary income and probably only income. And the goal for them along with that is that they're training them on budgeting, on saving, so that eventually they can take this and then they'll be able to start their own business. So they won't always be dependent on this project based out of Waco, but they'll continue on. And just imagining the impact of just something like that and how that's going to just keep going out. Waves are going to keep going out from that again and again and impacting so many people, and it'll get bigger and bigger, and people will move on to be more sustainable, stable in their own lives, and then new people will rise up to take their place. And it's just been incredible to be a part of that. So again, if you'd like to support them, then you can do that at their website, which is kiangaproject.com, and I think that'll be on the website as well. And also in Pocat, so for those of you here who were here when Edward spoke a few months ago, he told a story where before the wells were built, there were seasons during the dry season where children couldn't even go to school, people couldn't leave their homes because bees would swarm them when they left their homes. And there would be days at a time where, just based on the weather, bees would swarm them because all of the moisture in the entire land was in the people. And so bees would go and attack people because they needed water. And how after the wells were built, there was such an abundance of water that has stopped happening. So now children can go to school year-round, and people can get back out and do their farming and do their work year-round. And just another example of how just one thing, it's not just clean water. It's also helping with education. It's also helping with people growing economically. And so I think that is definitely the way that I've seen salvation, is through our connections and through the ways that one thing impacts so many other things. It's just, that's how God works, and it's been incredible to see that in this.
I've asked Laura if I could share one more thing, a little bit about divine appointments. And as you mentioned, Noel Alexander, his son Sam are here, and I think more of his family, with Love Mercy. And I can't help but share this story. We'd gone in and looked at this first well, my first trip ever to Pocat, and these four more wells have been drilled, and there had been some problems with these wells, and continue to be some problems with these wells, and they were drilled by, I think, a group called Living Water. And Love Mercy had come into Kenya and teamed up with an organization, I don't have all of it, Majitech is the name of it, but there was a young man that came at that time named Ryan Schumacher, had started working with Love Mercy, and he was going to be drilling the next set of wells that Jacob's Well put in. And we'd never met this person, and there were problems already with the first wells, and there were problems with some of the communication stuff that we were trying to do in Asilong. And we left Asilong with two key things that we needed to do. We said it would be great if we could get a hold of this guy, Ryan Schumacher, who's going to be drilling. We never met him. Who is he? Can we meet this guy? And there is a very important Kenya politician named Samuel Pogisio, who was in charge of information and communication technology for the country, Minister of Parliament. And so we said, we need to get a hold of these people and get these issues worked out. So we're driving 2.5 hours out of Asilong, and we're pulling into Kitale, and Edward's phone rings. And it's Ryan Schumacher. And Ryan says, yeah, Edward, I've just come. I've been out drilling a well. I want to meet with you because we're going to do some work for you. And he says, great, I'd love to meet with you too. Some we get together over the next month sometime, because we're out traveling. We're in Kitale right now. And Ryan says, well, I just pulled into Kitale myself. Where are you staying? So he said, well, we're staying over at the Kitale Club. Why don't you meet us for breakfast? Well, as it turns out, Noel happened to be in town at the same time as well. And so Ryan ultimately brought Noel with him. And we sit down. This is amazing. We get to meet with the guy that's going to drill the well. We get to meet with the founder of Love Mercy. And we're having a great conversation. And while we're sitting there talking, we look up and into the door of this little, you know, breakfast eating place in Kitale walks Samuel Pagicio, the Minister of Parliament for, you know, who lives in Nairobi. But he had been at a conference in Kitale and happened to come and, you know, have breakfast there. So he joined us. You remember this, right? You know, we just had a great meeting, worked out a lot of issues at that time, and we found out that Love Mercy had this guest house right there in Kitale. And let me tell you, after doing that four and a half hour drive from Nairobi, out, you know, getting further away from civilization, and you finally get to Kitale, you want to rest before you go into Pakat, into Asilong. And the Love Mercy guest house was just a huge, huge gift to us to be able to have that. And so I'd just like to say thank you, and it's amazing how God puts all that together.
It's awesome. I don't need that one. Oh, sure. I might make a noise. Okay, so just to wrap up, I love that Andy shared with us what Jesus' last words were to us, and when he said, "Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And how we as a community have been looking in our Jerusalem here in Kansas City, and how we can look at the next layer out, either this our state or our nation, and then to the ends of the earth, to Pokot. And what can we do at each of those levels to look for God's salvation in our own lives and the transformation of others as well? And it's pretty powerful. Right now, a primary focus of ours is on education, and a core group of folks are right now spending time with kids in an elementary school near downtown Kansas City, focusing on education and really being present to them, simply reading with them, and how impactful that's going to be. And then how perhaps the next step for us in Pokot is to help with a secondary education school. So the kids that are now in eighth grade will have a place to go to high school in their village without having to go far or without abandoning it. And so we're continuing to explore those things, just so everybody knows, and continue this conversation. And just know that in all things, we will continue to listen to how we might manifest God's love through presence, through our words of encouragement, through our finances, and just whatever it is, whatever we hear God calling us to do, that we are open and willing to do that. Of all the different pictures that could come out of our efforts and all of these connections that haven't yet been made, just one that comes to mind is just imagining that the kids of Jacob's Well, somehow communicating with the kids in Asilong, communicating with the kids in the school in Kansas City, what could happen of that generation of kids knowing about each other and growing up, how that might change how they think about God and our world is pretty cool. So please join me in prayer. God, I ask your blessings on our visitors and the work that they are doing in Africa and in their own communities in the U.S. I ask your blessings on the people of Kenya, particularly Edward and others in Nairobi, and Julius and others in Pokot. I ask your blessings on all the folks at Jacob's Well who are living missionally within their own community and outside their community, with their family and with their neighbors. And I pray that we are all encouraged in listening to God and listening for his speaking into our lives individually and as a community. Father, bless us, give us strength, be with us. In your son's name, amen.